Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, I'm seeing this on the text line. Any rom-coms in the black community coming to America, The Wood, Boomerang?
We've tried.
Sit on the vote, man.
Didn't we try on The Wood? Or Wood?
We tried on The Wood. I saw I'd love to come in through The Wood. We'll see. I mean, it's not up to us.
Yep.
Put them in there for the vote. Although The Wood is fantastic. Slim is something else. I think Clint would absolutely love The Wood.
I might need to do some more, let's call it outreach on our Twitter account. Maybe that's some of the work that needs to be done, because I know that these are decided.
Voters?
Well, I mean, they're decided by the Twitter polls.
Yeah.
And I think the demographic of the Twitter following will determine what the poll results are. So we might need to do a little bit of outreach.
Are you voting? Did you vote on The Wood?
Did I?
I'm not you. I'm talking about these folks, because I've seen them a couple of times. A couple of times. They're there. And we send them in. And when we get a lot of those movies coming in, people suggest, like The Wood was up, and it was, I saw it come through about 15 times, so we put it up there.
Help us hit more timelines, dead last. Y'all. Help us hit more timelines with this
thing. Dead last, so we'll see about that.
Yeah,
hey,
we tried.
Be a part of it. And why don't you go follow sportsradio610.com. You can be a part of that sucker.
Yeah.
And follow us on Twitter, and then you can vote. Only a poll comes out every Friday.
Yeah.
You got 3 days. You got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then it ends Monday.
Yeah. So, have y'all put the best man in there?
Hadn't had that one suggested yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good one, too.
I'm just checking.
Solid one. Brown Sugar. Not bad either. Love Jones is my favorite. Yeah. All right. D'Amico Ryans at the NFL owners meetings, he spoke. And this is a conversation that we've talked about a little bit on this show. He talked about why he didn't attend the Alabama or Ohio State Pro Days. God, I can't wait for this.
We had guys who were there. We had our scouts who were on the roads, guys who were there that we trust. We've watched our guys on film, guys that we've evaluated all the quarterbacks, all of the linebackers, D linemen. So we're watching all the players. So it's not going to the Pro Day is not a knock. We had guys who were there.
Y'all are pretty worked up about this, huh? You and Clint. Both of y'all.
For me, I'm not as much worked up. I am
confused.
For me, I think my worked upness comes from folks who just around here are just like, you're an idiot for even having an issue with it, or even having a concern or wondering about it. It's over, right? The pro day is done. The combine is done. The only thing left is their personal visit. And I believe, now, hell, if I find out none of them attended the personal visit and they just left it to the scouts, then I'm coming full bore again. But I don't think that's going to be the case. We'll see, man. I just hope they get enough of the intel that they need, right? And it's over. So for me, it's just, I would do it different. Yeah. I would want to see it myself.
I agreed with y'all's premise that, hey, why miss out on an opportunity to see and meet and talk to them in person? Like, if you have that opportunity and you only have but so many opportunities to do that, why would you miss out on that or intentionally step out on that? I get that point. But if you are, like, if they feel like it was better for them to manage their time elsewhere and differently, I don't feel like it's the worst thing in the world. I don't feel like it was 110% necessary for them to be there, considering they had just met with the guys. They've already watched them on tape, and it's not really a whole lot that they were going to learn from them at the pro day. So I didn't hate it, even though I would agree that it would make more sense to be there. To me, it makes more sense to be there than to not.
That's my thing. Is
it makes more sense to be there than to not.
It's the most important decision I'm going to make. I'm not saying they need to pull up in Tuscaloosa on a random ass Tuesday and just see what's going on. But, I mean, they have these allotted days.
But the message I got out of that audio from D'Amico Ryans there was, hey, we know how to delegate. We trust our lieutenants. He said, hey, they trust James. They trust Lip, you know, as Landry calls him, Scout Goodhair. They felt good about those dudes being there. And that's how they roll with it. So, if anything that I'm learning about D'Amico from that audio and from that move is they are willing to delegate.
No, they are. I just
I mean, clearly.
I'd be willing to delegate on this, just not on that quarterback thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not on that one that's going to probably determine my job. That's just me.
This would be the thing. And even if it's not for me, even if it's not watching, like, how many throws does he complete or how exactly does he look throwing the ball, if it's just not another opportunity to rub elbows real quick and just to chit-chat, to chop it up a little bit with the prospect and the people that's there, like, I feel like that's just an opportunity. And maybe they feel like the scouting department is good enough at that already, but I would want to do it. I would want to put my hands on it, especially if I'm D'Amico and it's my first go-round at it. And Nick, who you figure...
Especially
job,
if I'm Nick.
Like, job, I don't know if it's on the line, but you figure if he get this wrong, it definitely would be. So, like,
appreciate it.
If I'm either one of them cats, I would want to be as close to that thing as I could touch it.
Yeah, I'm good on checking out Clayton Toon and company. Also, D'Amico also was at NFL owner meetings, and he spoke about his thoughts on free agency, his thoughts on what the Texans have done in free agency.
I think we've added some pieces, guys who've had some veteran NFL experience, and to get all those guys together, get them on the field, we're excited to get started just to see where we are as a team. And, you know, adding these guys, we're excited about it, but we also know we have to see how our team comes together for the Texans, right? We've added some really good players. Now we'll see. Let's gel together and let's become a true team and see where it takes us.
Yeah. That got to be a little bit of coach speak there at the end for That's me, fine. But I do like, what I like about it is that he didn't try to oversell us on this free agent class. Like, I think there's a portion of the fan base that you'll find, and this is just passion. This is just people caring and really loving the team and everything.
Hell, and they deserve, any kind of thing that's good.
I'm not knocking it at all, but I do appreciate from the head coach, from a decision maker.
Yeah, let's not get crazy.
From a stakeholder here, he's not trying to oversell. He says we had some pieces, but we didn't do anything to, like, set the world on fire or anything. We're not about to be in the Super Bowl necessarily just because we added Hassan Ridgeway and Sheldon Rankins to our defensive line because we traded for Shaq Mason.
Yeah, and we feel good. Jimmy Ward, I think Jimmy Ward's nice. Is a pretty solid one too.
Yeah.
I like that part of it too, acknowledging it, but not going overboard with it. No, we got work to do. So, it was D'Amico Ryan speaking at the NFL owners meetings. They'll be down there all week. I know our Texans insider, I believe Brooks Kabina is down there. I know John McClain is down there as well. So we'll hear from those guys coming up this week.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, Lamar Jackson, he reveals that he has requested a trade from the Ravens in early March. Earlier this month, he had a tweet as a message to his fans as well, saying he's always going to have love for his Ravens flock, the Baltimore flock. But it is out that he requested a trade from the Ravens in early March. John Harbaugh, his head coach with the Baltimore Ravens, he spoke and was asked at the owners' meetings if he heard anything or he saw Lamar's tweet.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited, thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
Do you anticipate him being your quarterback in week one?
I do. You know, you got to plan for all the contingencies for sure, but I'm pretty fired up about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a great player. Lamar came back in great shape last year. He's fired up to play. That's the Lamar that I'm looking forward to seeing. Can't wait to get back on the grass and go to work, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't want to be too critical of the media there, but was the question, did you see his tweet, or was the question, did Lamar Jackson request a trade on March, or were you aware that Lamar Jackson requested a trade on March 6th?
The question was, did you see Lamar Jackson's tweet?
Yeah, no, that's not a good question because that gives them I'm not on Twitter. I ain't see the tweet. No. The meat of the matter here.
Twitter guide.
Yeah, no. I don't care about whether you saw the tweet. Did you know, and what is your reaction to Lamar Jackson saying that he does not want to be a part of this organization as of the first week of March?
Have you seen my tweets lately?
Yeah. No, maybe he ain't see the tweet, but. Like, what you got on this information? Yeah, that's what I want to know. Like, this has gotten super interesting.
Interesting. I'm just going to make – this is how I feel. This is how Ron, the show Hughley, feels. You can respond or however you feel about it.
Nah, speak on it.
I know some people don't agree, and that's fine. I really feel bad for Lamar Jackson in this situation. I just – what – and I know he's going to potentially make $32 million, but this – But from what he has put forth, and what he has done. And I know there are some who disagree with him as a player. Hell, there's a guy that I'm looking at in an orange shirt across the window that disagrees with me, him as a player, as Tyler's waving his hand.
Yeah, he's not a fan.
But when you look at what he has done and what he's accomplished in his age, and seeing the other people around him and what they've been able to make, and it just ain't been this damn hard.
Right.
And we're using excuses like, oh, it's because he doesn't have an agent. Listen, Laremy Tunsil doesn't have an agent. He's reset the market. Like, some of these players, Lamar, Laremy Tunsil, there's another player out there who doesn't have an agent that recently just signed a deal. Another guy, like, these contracts are kind of in an area of knowing where he's going to make. And it just seems like the Ravens have just said, no, that's not the area. And for them, as we've seen reports, he's been offered lower than Kyler Murray, which is just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's right. Crazy.
And,
that is crazy.
And that's fine. I would just imagine what Lamar is sitting back thinking and looking at the landscape of everything and what he's done. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, I gotta sit. Like, it's this.
From this standpoint, I would say, like, first of all, I don't know for sure, obviously, not being a part of it. I don't know for sure what he's been offered. I just know what the reports are. And I don't know what for sure he's asking for. I just know what's out there, right?
And what he said, and which he said he is not asking for.
The reports are all over the place.
He said himself. Now, he could be lying. He's not asking for what Deshaun Watson.
So let's just take everybody at face value. The part of it that bothers me for Lamar, and I think I differ from you just a little bit on this, is that I feel like Lamar Jackson, you talk about what all he's done at his age and all the accomplishments, and there's nothing that we could argue. I mean, it's right there in front of us. The results are what they are. But I also feel like Lamar Jackson was actually at his most valuable when he was his cheapest. Like, I don't know. I can't say for sure, especially based off of these last couple of years and how things have gone with both his health and his style of play. I don't know if I can say definitively right now, sitting in this seat, that we have not seen the best of Lamar Jackson. Like, I just don't know that. And I could be wrong, or it could be that we haven't, but it's very well possible that the best of Lamar Jackson was while he was on a rookie deal at his cheapest. And at that time, he probably was closest to being valued at what he's trying to get right now than what he is right now. So, to me, I feel like he's just sort of a victim of the market passing him by and the style of play that he is. Because honestly, as much as I like Lamar Jackson and as interesting of a player as he is, I don't know if I would pay him all of that money. And that's not a knock on his accomplishments or his game. It's just to say, hey, this is a guy who has a style of play and has miles now, and is not somebody who I am sure I would want to pay this level of a contract at this stage of his career. Yeah. I think that's reasonable to say, even if you can acknowledge how great he's been.
Sure, that's reasonable. I also look at it from the point of, like, there are a lot of players we could say we could look at it. We could say, has Kyler peaked? We could say, is Joe Burrow going to be ever as good as he was the last 2 years? Like, there's a lot of coulds we could. And, yes, he's had two injuries that have hurt him here of late. I just don't feel like anybody else is rolling through what he is having to roll through.
There's nobody else like him. No player like him. Nobody like him.
And we've still not yet to see him have great parts around him. Right? He's had offensive linemen that have gotten injured and have been hurt a lot. Mark Andrews has been the best.
That's the Ravens' fault, right? Not on effort, but on failure to hit and do that.
But I'm just saying to that point of we're talking about Lamar like this at 26 years old, and we've yet to see him have a wide receiver. Hollywood Brown's the best wide receiver he's ever had.
Yeah, but do you want to give whatever the figure is?
I would pay Lamar.
You know, I would too. But the question of when we talk about what the figure is, I think there is still an open question of how much do I want to pay my quarterback, who is also, as long as he's worth this money, is going to be more than likely my best running back too. Like, there's that running back factor to Lamar that I think is a part of this negotiation, whereas, you know, a lot of people talk about you don't pay running backs. Lamar, I know he's a quarterback, but he's kind of a running back too. And I think that's
He's a dual threat quarterback.
Yes, but and he runs even more so than anybody, right? Because of the speed and everything. So I feel like that's part of it. Like, that's hurting him. Sure, the thing that makes him as intriguing as he is part of what hurts him in his negotiation.
And just let him go.
Yeah, no, I think that might be what we're looking at.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, on the way out, the Final Four is set. Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, Miami, and UConn. It'll be right here in Houston. And listen, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not fired up about this whatsoever. And I think most of you aren't. And the thing that I'm rolling around and seeing so much is, like, oh, I'm tired of Blue Bloods. Everybody doesn't like to watch Blue Bloods. I would just like for some of you to think in a broader sense than maybe not what your perspective and what your feel is. Like, most people don't want to see Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings in the Super Bowl. They'd rather see Brady in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They'd rather see Rodgers. Most people. Some of you might want, oh, I want to see something different. Most people don't want. Like, you can understand why Blue Bloods draw more than seeing Cinderellas face each other. So, I mean, the Blue Blood thing of, oh, people, it's good to not have Kentucky and Duke and all that. Okay. I'm just telling you, most people, you know, hate watch or want to watch those schools.
Well, but, and if not Blue Bloods, you need one of two things. I think you need the brand of the Blue Blood, or you need the brand of the magnetic star that's going to draw people in. Like the Noel kid from Kansas State, who's from New York City and had the performance in Madison Square Garden. Like, you need either individual draws like that or a brand that you can attach something to, and you just did not have, or you do not have that right now.
All right. Beast Guy said he's switching sides about something with the Texans. And I wonder, I'm going to have to call him to the carpet on this, because it's a switch. Did you get new evidence? Like, I'm good with people being a flip-flopper that got new evidence. I'm going to see where Brandon Scott is going.
I just had too
much
time to think.
I'm going to see what. Oh, so no new evidence. Oh, my God. All right, we'll see what he's switching on coming up next on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right. I want to hear this. As Clint Sterner is out, he'll be back in tomorrow. But Brandon Scott in for Clint, sportsradio610.com. You can find all his work there as he covers everything in Houston for us. All right, you switching sides on something? Some people call that flip-flopping. I'm not a big fan of the flip-flopping, especially if there is new evidence. You get new evidence of things, then I'm cool with it, because you get new evidence, you can change your stance. That's fair. But you're switching sides on something.
Yeah, more so than anything, it's just like, I'm not saying with the conviction of, and this was about a month ago where I can remember I was saying, hey, they got to go offense. Like, I don't want to hear anything about anything else. They got to go offense. It's got to be offense. Offense, offense, offense with these first two picks in the draft, right? These two first round picks.
2 and 12, right?
I felt like it was just really important for them to obviously get the quarterback. I didn't even feel like that was a discussion worth having. And then past that, I thought it was just as important to pair the quarterback with a weapon. I still feel that way, but here's what the new evidence I'll say is. With the Bears trading that pick from number 1 to number 9, and they are in a position to get possibly one of those top defensive players if they slide, okay? You know, a Tyree Wilson if he slides, a Jalen Carter if he slides, okay? I don't think Will Anderson's going to slide to number 9, but they could be there for a guy like that, or they could go get the guy who I feel like is the flavor of the month right now for Texans fans in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Like, as much as people want to fantasize about the idea of pairing C.J. Stroud with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, or even obviously Bryce Young with Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
I've done it.
And I've done it too. I've done a lot of it. But the Bears also have a former Ohio State quarterback who would like to be paired with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And I don't think it would be totally out of the question for the Bears, a team that also, like, if you look at their wide receiving core, it looks just as pitiful as what the Texans have going on. Or it's just as, it leaves a lot to be desired as the Texans do. So I'm starting to think of the scenarios of, okay, what if the offensive players that I prefer are either not there or just not in play? Because, you know, I'm a Bijan Robinson guy. Most people aren't. They're like, don't draft a running back that high. And the Texans don't necessarily need a running back in that spot. That would be a waste of a pick. A lot of people think that. I don't. But if you're of that mind, you don't like Bijan Robinson at that spot. Jackson Smith and Jigba possibly is not available. Then I am starting to be a little bit more interested in who are the edge rushers that will be available either around two or within a reasonable facsimile of two. Like maybe if you're starting to look at 8 and 9 and you see that they're there and a guy that you're looking at offensively is off the board, maybe you want to trade up a couple of spots because you want to go get that difference maker. I, more than anything, than just wanting the weapon, I wanted that game-changing player. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I hate to be super generic like that. I like to be.
You're having a hard time finding that person being there.
Well, and if I want to be specific, I can go Jackson Smith and Jigba. I can go Bijan Robinson. Those are the players that I have conviction in. I can tell you that. But I also got to be realistic in the idea that A, they one might not be there, and B, the other one just might not fit what you're trying to do.
Yeah,
and
I don't want them to just draft offensive weapons just because they feel
right.
Like they
that's
draft
what I'm saying. So like, I don't have,
and I don't think Nick would do that.
And I don't have the conviction in say Jordan Addison that I do.
Oh, I'm good on that.
That I do in a Jackson Smith and Jigba.
And we know tight end is not a space they need to go now after they brought in Dalton Schultz.
Exactly. So now
in
I got to at least start opening my mind to what the possibilities could be at that spot. And I'm like, okay, it might be best. And if we think that weapons could be available at 33, or that 33 and having 2 third-round picks is an asset that can bring you up and go get a weapon maybe in the later part of the first round, something like that, then I got to open my mind to the idea of number 12 being a defensive player if one is there. So we talk about Tyree Wilson and we talk about Will Anderson and Jalen Carter, those guys maybe not being there. But I'm more so opening my mind to, okay, what if Lucas Van Ness is there? Am I more open to that than I ever was? What if Miles Murphy is there? Am I more open to that than I ever was before?
See, I can get kind of nasty with Miles Murphy.
Yeah.
I can mess with that. But, like, if it's – who's that Lucas, what, the guy from Iowa
yeah,
that,
Lucas
that
Van
couldn't
Ness.
Start?
Yeah.
If it's that – if that's what I'm in the round of looking at, like, I'd rather trade up to go get that cat. I'd, like, trade up to go get Smith and Jigba than to do that. Now, if somebody goes up and gets him and it's kind of out of reach and it don't make sense, I don't want you to just do something crazy just to go get him. But, boy, man, I like that didn't sound a corner. At that point,
yeah, no,
I'd rather go in other spaces.
I was just throwing out names out there. And it's also more so about what their evaluation is. But the other part that I would add to it is like, okay, what is their grade or what does their chart look like for second round wide receivers or for wide receivers and running backs that they feel like they could get later in the draft versus what they feel like they can get an edge rusher? Is that a much more top heavy type of position that you feel like you got? Maybe you need to use the higher pick on something like that and try your luck further down the line with a weapon. And I don't love it, but I'm having to sort of think about it and maybe rationalize
it and
feel okay with it.
Thought it's easier to find weapons later.
Yeah.
Like guys at weapons later in the rounds. We've seen that more than defensive ends and defensive tackles later in the round. So I'm with that. Listen, you know, it's a little bit of a
Yeah.
But as you said, this is more of a time thing.
You got time to think about everything. And look, if you're asking me, it ain't no flip flop. I'm just accepting that the rest of the world doesn't view the world the way I do, and nobody wants Bijan Robinson at 12.
Yeah, yeah.
So if that be the case, all right, let's let y'all
but
ride.
I can get with the thought of yes, we desperately as the Texans, if they're in that war room, we desperately need a weapon, especially a weapon on the perimeter.
Right.
But let's not just sell it all.
Yeah.
Just to go get one because we want one.
Like, if put it to you like this. If they like Lucas Van Ness or Miles Murphy, let's just make it any one of those guys. If they like them sort of in the middle of that first round. And you're looking up and say Quentin Johnston is slipping to the later part of the first round, you know, into the 20s. You got enough to trade up from 33 to go still get a guy like that. And you could still come out of it. You know, the point is to get as many impact players as you possibly can. So I feel like you've got enough ammunition to do that, but the way the market is set up, the way the prospects are set up, you might need to pick high to get a difference-making pass rusher like that, at least edge rusher like that.
Yeah. All right. As we said, Clint is out. Tyler, he's back. He is back from his time off last week. And I meant to bring this up while Tyler was here. I feel like you ever get the moments, and I'll be 39 coming up in May. Jesus. Where you feel like you just run into these old moments where you feel old.
I haven't yet.
Thanks. I was at a wedding in St. Louis last weekend, or whatever that was. Last weekend. And I must be getting, this is where I looked up and I thought I was getting old, because I am not a fan of the, hey, let's throw them Jordans / basketball shoes and let's put them together with a suit.
Doesn't do it for you?
Or them Air Forces like that just came in. Nice song. I'm not a fan of that, right? Because one, for me.
Isn't that so odd from you?
I
thought you'd be all over it.
Yeah.
No.
I could also see him
you
being a little
me,
bit of
can
a traditionalist,
see me a kid
too.
That has lived into the church his whole life and have bought things that we call church shoes.
Yeah.
Here's my deal is they make comfortable dress-like shoes. Like, go slide in. Like, you gonna wear them J's? And I'm telling you, I'm at this wedding, 60% of men, black and white guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Rocking J's. Or dunks or something with their suits.
Yeah.
Like, they go get you a pair of Cole Haans. Got you a nice pair of Cole Haans. They're also made with Nike.
I feel attacked right now.
You do this,
the
don't
last
you?
Three times I've worn a suit to a black tie, and I've worn Nikes.
I saw you at the Houston Sports Awards, and it popped in my mind as soon as I thought of it.
Yeah. You're attacking me, man.
I
think it looks good. I think it's a clean look.
The rules changed a long time ago, show.
I know they changed. I'm not saying that I'm end up. Yeah, here, you do what you want to do. Yeah. I'm just looking. I'm like, it ain't coming right with
you.
Your pants
do, I'm gonna be
coming
honest.
Down over it. It ain't. Get you a nice pair of wingtips, baby.
You do strike me as someone with more of a penny loafer upbringing of like, hey, this is what we wear. We wear our church shoes to church functions. Like, and I feel like I got a kind of a similar thing. Like, if you were to ask anybody they would agree with you. Like, I feel like they would agree with you. But it's been this way for so long that I've just accepted it. The thing that I don't like is the the high water pants.
See, I like that.
With the no socks.
Yeah, I do that.
That's the thing that I like. Give me Jordans over that.
I like that.
And you know what also surprises me about this with you, show? And maybe this is in between our, because we're of the similar generation, but this might be in between. We're about 5-6 year difference. What's in between is the jersey suit, jersey dress. You don't remember that? Did y'all not do that in Kansas City?
No.
Whoa. Man, go look at the 2000 and text line 713-572-4610.
Hold on, the what?
If you went to prom in Houston in 2000, between 2000, let's call it 4, let's call it 2003 and 2006, you might have worn a jersey dress or a jersey, so like a Carmelo Anthony dress. Or a Carmelo Anthony suit.
I ain't seen a Carmelo Anthony suit. I've seen the ladies in a dress.
But that's what I'm saying. Once they started doing those, to me, you can add sneakers to a suit once you start making jersey suits and dresses.
My man said I got married in them Travis Scott ones with my tux. I mean, good for you. I'm just not a fan of the look.
I wore Vans in my wedding. Shocker.
What the hell?
Vans are super comfortable.
Texans fans, I'm happy for you, because I think you're going to get what I believe you all richly deserve. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
As we get this probably once or twice a day, I don't agree with the show very often, but I can't wear no damn sneakers with a suit. And I'll be honest, during the break, As me and Brandon were talking, obviously the setup, you all don't maybe not be familiar, but Tyler is not in the same room as us. And I just ran through all of Tyler's. Just went on Instagram and followed Tyler, and not followed Tyler, but went through all of his photos. And it is. This is a number that you pull off, Tyler. You really have embraced
the old
tennis shoes, and it's the same ones. I've seen the consecutive.
I added a new pair to the circulation.
Did you add a new pair?
Yeah,
good for you.
You'll see them next time I dress up.
Good for you. But I see people doing it. I see this. It is here to stay. If you missed it, I feel like, and I'm saying it right, I'm saying it in front. So, I mean, if you want to still call it hating or whatever you want to call it, I feel like this is a moment in which I am feeling old.
Yeah.
And I am getting old when I look at this trend of the, let me wear. I was at a wedding in St. Louis, and I seen you know, most guys in tux. This was a black tie deal. Tux, suits.
Yeah.
And I mean, 60% of them, I feel like we're in tennis shoes or J's.
Yeah.
And this has become a thing. And Tyler is, he is king dingling when it comes to it. I'm just curious, Tyler, did you do it for comfort? Because I feel like at first, I feel like some people were doing it for comfort. Comfort of tennis shoes over dress shoes. So
no,
you don't have a
mine
problem
was strictly the style. I think it looks good. I mean, they are comfortable, too, but I think when you wear Nikes or Jordans or something with a suit, as long as you do it right, I think you can make it look really, really good.
How long
really,
have you been
really
doing
good.
This?
The night we went to the Houston Sports Award was the first time
that
I did it.
That was your first timer?
Yep.
And now you're in it.
You know what's odd to me about show? Tyler, what's odd to me about show not really being down with this?
Tell me.
Because I was telling him in the break, like, I feel like, for me, it's more of who can pull it off and who can't. Like, some people look decent in it and some people don't.
Right.
So,
and we're not saying that you can't pull it off, Tom.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
No, I thought you pulled it off just fine. But the part about show is, like, I feel like he's somebody who could pull it off. I'm not just trying to gas you up. I legit feel like.
And there was one time I did it in the mirror one time. Yeah. I did not like that.
Sidewind-ass tennis shoes.
I did not like that one. Shove it, Larry.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to say that.
See, like.
I didn't like it. I didn't like the way the pants fell over on the suit.
Well, I think I had my pants tailored for him.
You went for the whole
thing. See, you even put effort. I think that this show, of the three shows we have on this station,
I commend you for that.
I think that this show would pull off the sneakers
with
the suit.
I'm actually turned on by that.
Better than anybody.
I agree with you,
B-Scott. In a major way.
But yeah, you got to get the pant legs, you know, tailored up a little higher than what you normally would wear with dress shoes.
I was telling you, Doug.
You got to.
I saw Dennis Scott this weekend on NBA TV late, and he ought to be ashamed of himself.
Yeah.
He had on some big-ass pants. Just, I mean, something he didn't put together. Three different type of suits he didn't put together, and just big-ass pants with these white shoes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man. He was in for comfort.
Yeah, and he's not just doing color commentary where you just get him from the neck up. You see his whole get-up.
I felt like, for me, it was like, I can understand the comfort. I sought out them Cole Haans. I done had me a couple of pair of them joints. I can't like them. Woo! The comfort in them puppies, and they still got the nice dress look. That's it for me.
You know what? I hadn't thought about this from the 832 on the text line here. You can't wear just any J's with a tux. It has to be ones, threes, or 11s, or dunks. That I had not considered. The texter might be on to something. Like, there might be a quality of shoe, a quality of J that goes with.
Yeah, I seen a guy last week with Reeboks on.
Now, I don't know if there's a Reebok.
Classics.
What Reebok could you wear with a suit?
It was a Reebok Classic.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I don't like that.
I don't know about that.
You know who can pull off a nice pair of J's with a good-looking suit is Johnny Harris.
John does do it. And I'll be honest, I love you, John. I don't like it.
Wow. But see, I feel like John pulls it off.
I'm not saying he doesn't pull it off. It looks good on him. It ain't me. Like, I don't like it. And I go, God, John. I've said it. I've said it right there one time. John. We'll go get you.
But you know
maybe
what?
John ain't gonna
let
get
me
him
hear
some
you say hell yeah.
Maybe John ain't going to get him some Stacey Adams, but go get you some kicks.
This is definitely the Churchin show. The more we talk through
it,
my understanding of the show, I feel like this is the churching you, the revivaling you, the Sunday schooling you. I feel like this is your
all of them.
Your church experience, your lifelong church experience.
I grew up in church.
Yeah, but did you grow up, I would ask you this,
did you grow up dressing to the nines every single damn Sunday?
No, it was like you could wear like plaid button-ups, and I wore Vans to church
there
and khaki pants and stuff like that.
There
I worked at a church, and I dressed that way.
But see, I also went to a church that was a little bit more, like, less traditional and more progressive in the things that you could wear to the church.
Oh, yeah. Zion Grove Missionary Baptist Church.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the difference. We have been going to churches where you can kind of come as you are, as they say.
No church clothes.
That's come to me late.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, because I know exactly
my grandpa's
that
a
prototype.
Pastor for 50-plus years.
Yeah.
Teresa had my stuff laid out Sunday.
Oh, no. How about this? at my grandparents' church out in Silsby, and this is sexist, but the women could not wear pants. Listen. There was a sign.
Church is there.
There was a sign on the door. Women wearing pants will be either asked to change or asked to leave. You had to wear dresses and skirts. So it's that real in certain places. This was like, you know, 20 years ago, you know, not that long ago. So
I
bet the sign is still there too.
I bet it is. Yeah, it probably is. All right. I just can't get with it, man. And I acknowledge I'm getting old. All right. Texans fans, I truly believe this, Brandon and Tyler. I truly believe that you're going to get the break that you deserve. Like sometimes, sometimes a team needs a break. Needs a break to get them out of the bad.
Things are turned around in H-Town.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do. I look at it, and we've seen it around the NFL. We've seen it around the league, teams needing breaks, teams needing things to flash their way.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs, would you say they've probably been the best team and organization the last 5 years or so?
Yes.
They needed the Chicago Bears to be foolish and say Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Now, they weren't the only ones, but they needed, like, they needed that to happen.
Yeah.
And they got Patrick Mahomes. They got it. They needed that to happen. I think the Texans are going to get the break that I'm not sure many of us thought they would get, and they're going to get Bryce Young. And the break is that the Panthers have jumped up. We can hear all this garbage of, oh, you never know. No. I'm going to tell you what right now. That man sought out Phillip Rivers and sought out
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz and sought out Matt Ryan.
Yes, Matt Ryan. Yeah.
He's traded up to go seek out C.J. Stroud. And there are reports from Charlotte saying that's who he is into and who they're into. So they're going to play all this game and dance, whatever. They're going up there to go get C.J. Stroud. And I think the Texans, you might be a guy who loves the football gods. You might be someone who believes in the sports gods. I don't know. The Texans have had it all thrown on top of them the last 3 or 4 years. Let's just be honest. I think they're going to get the break that the fans here deserve. And hell, I don't know if the organization deserves it, but they're going to get it anyway. Because of what happened in that game, inexplicably, they lost, or check that, they won against the Colts in a game where I don't even know how it happened.
Which means they lost.
And they end up losing and not controlling this draft. And then the media thought was, oh my God, the Colts are going to come up against Bryce Young. But nope. Whoever looked down opponent said, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And you are going to catch the break. And I hope Bryce Young is the break to jumpstart it. You already caught him anyone. You already caught a break that a real live coaching candidate happened to be tied into your organization and happened to know your organization and the ownership well enough that he didn't have preconceived notions about the team that I think a lot of coaches have that has prevented the Texans from maybe being able to attract top coaches. You got a mini one with DeMeco. The big one is about to be here because the Panthers are going to draft C.J. Stroud and you're going to get Bryce Young. I am so confident, fellas, that the Texans are going to get Bryce Young.
Hey, mark this, Tyler, too.
Make sure I swear before God. No, right
make,
now.
Make sure you mark what he's about to say.
It is 350. 350 with 43 seconds and counting. Some of y'all that have been online know what this means. It is 350, 47 seconds and counting, March 27th. I will drop the nickname show. I'll just go by Ron Hughley. I will drop.
Wow.
I will drop.
Holy hell.
I'm putting my hog on the table. Send it right here.
Hold on, though. Should you? I don't know. I don't like you gambling this.
Now, listen, some of our listeners right here are getting excited because some of y'all who listen to the show every day don't want me to beat the show anyway.
The showman.
I'm willing to put it on the table. Right here. I am so confident that the Texans are going to get the break they've needed and draft Bryce Young. I will drop show. I will drop it. We'll no longer go. I'll tell him to take it off promos.
Man.
I'll tell him to take it out of anything that is pictured.
Do we lose it? Do we lose that drop too from Bill Worrell?
Hold on. Yes.
The showman.
All of it.
Man.
Hold on, show. Nope. Change it.
That's done. That's probably the most classic drop on our show.
Yeah, Cal McNair came on here and said it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Hold on, show.
What are we doing?
It's gone.
What are we doing?
Cal McNair. Hold on, Ron. That's what it'll be.
Okay.
That's how confident I am.
Hold on, wait.
The gods are looking down. It is your time. You're going to get Bryce.
Let's
add
some clarity to what this wager is. Is it if simply they don't get Bryce or if they pass
on
Bryce?
If he is not a Houston Texan.
In any context.
No, I don't think Kyle McNair will allow them to pass
even on. Whether Carolina picks Bryce or if the Texans somehow actually pass on Bryce. It doesn't matter which way.
If he's not a Texan, I'll drop it. All right. Done. Ron Hughley. Bam.
Interesting.
That's how confident I am. Sometimes.
Wow, dude.
Sometimes you just catch a break. Sometimes, listen, I talked about the Chiefs earlier. They probably caught one not getting Deshaun either. Sometimes you catch a break.
Hey, Tyler.
And this is you're catching. Houston, congratulations.
Tyler, are we bad teammates for our immediate concern when he made this wager being more so about the drops and the production value as opposed to just his simple identity as the show?
That's what I'm saying, man. I don't like it. I wish you'd risk something else.
No, I didn't need to discuss it with anybody. It's executive decision. That's how confident I am.
You're a grown man.
Also, I hope and pray you're right on this because I want Bryce Young in a Texans uniform, but
it's going to listen. It's a big wager. You take the breaks. Now, if Nick Caserio and company throw the break that they've been given to the trash, then, I don't deserve to be called show. I trust you that much, Nick.
Well, what about the idea
I trust you that much, Kyle and Hannah.
I believe in Nick Caserio.
I believe in you, Kyle. I don't believe you will put your foot in the door before it closes if they go, let's go somewhere else.
This means that you guys, as a show in this scenario, would be without both Bryce Young and the show. It would be two losses in one.
It'd be Ron Hughley. Right? The drive with Sterner and Hughley. Just Ron. And Clint might have to practice for a week and change things up, stop calling me show, but it's done. I'll drop it.
Can I start calling you Ronnie or Ronald?
Just Ron, jackass.
Well, wait, why? If you're limited.
Man, don't do that. Don't do it. It's just Ron. Okay? Only my mom won't stop and Courtney finally, because we had a son that we named after me, she stopped calling me Ron.
Hey, but Tyler, y'all still got peaches and wet mouth and all of that in the can somewhere,
sure,
right?
Sure, whatever.
Yeah. And don't forget this one.
Show's daddy, Tyler.
More. Over if he doesn't get here. That's how confident I am that the Texans are going to get this break.
You're wet mouth.
You're getting suggestions on the text line for new nicknames.
It's just Ron Hughley. Just Ron. Just straight up Ron Hughley. All right. Coming up, interesting thought by somebody on this show about a potential new Texan. We'll discuss that coming up next.